follow them on Twitter. They got some good stuff. Ooh, hot, right?
Yes, that is awesome. Man, I love her voice.
I do. Pick that up on iTunes. Support our nerdcore folk. Why do I have too many vitamins? I got four in my pocket. I got two on the desk. I forgot, went back from four.
No, we look like druggies, don't we?
You know.
You take the little pink pill for the happiness, and the little blue pill for the,
I met a lady over, not this past weekend, but the weekend before, who outdoes you and I, anybody I've ever met with vitamins. We're sitting at Chuck E. Cheese. I had to go to a kid's birthday party, and she took out her vitamins, and she pours out like 15. And those of you girls who have seen the Sex and the City movie, you're familiar with the scene where Samantha puts out of her in her hand, and they said, how are you going to follow all those? And she says, have you met me? You know if you watch the show what that means. Have you met me? And this lady did the same thing. I was like, holy crap. She's like, yeah, I take these. I was like, oh, my God. And she put them all in her mouth and swallowed them.
Wow.
She didn't flinch. I was like, girl, some guy somewhere is loving you. Okay. Anyway.
Oh, my God. Wow, that's one way to start the morning. All right.
That's a morning. That's not morning. That was her afternoon vitamins, okay? She said she takes these morning, lunch, and dinner. And it was lunchtime. I couldn't. She said she got pulled over in an accident, and they asked her, you know, does she have any drugs? And they took out her bottle. She's like, it's just vitamins. And they actually went through all of them and found out they were. But she's got everything, her omega fatty acids and everything. I'm gagging for taking these two. Let me just tell you.
Yes, yes. Any more than about four, and I, yeah.
Yeah. Good morning.
Yes. I don't know how these people do that.
Good morning to the quagmires over at Gamer Focus. Good morning, guys. And I thought that was Jason this morning, but it was actually Ginger. Good morning.
It was me. It was good morning. I was telling everybody good morning.
Everybody survived the weekend?
Yeah, you with the snow.
I know. It started snowing last night, and never mind, that's not a story to be told on air. That's not bad. It's kind of one of those hilarious.
I thought it was
going
good.
Out in the snow because, you know, you're down to the last roll of toilet paper and you don't know how long it's going to last.
Good morning, Joe. We have no tea. You have to keep up with us. Today is not coffee day. It's tea day, so you need to bring the biscuits.
Mm-hmm. Yes, yes. I've got my tea right here next to me. Nom, nom, nom. With my fake sugar in it.
I got green tea with honey. She drank that fake sugar stuff. I can't do it.
I like my fake sugar. The honey just makes the egg.
Should we alert them to our...
Oh, we should. We should. Hey, good morning. Have we already told them? Lunch, Ginger, and Corey. That's us.
That was not the alert I was talking about, but thank you for reminding me. Thank you. Ginger did the intro. Yay, Ginger.
Yay. All right. So,
we have good juicy. Right? Yes, you juicy.
All right. I picked this up this morning over on GamePolitics.com. Sony credit rating downgraded by S&P. Oh, yes, looks like it's not just America in general who's getting hit. It's Sony. Standard & Poor's S&P has lowered Sony long-term credit and debt ratings from A- to BBB+, according to an Industry Gamers report. That report also notes that the firm also removed the ratings from Credit Watch, where it had dropped them in November of 2011.
Oof.
Yeah. All right. So S&P noted the outlook of the long-term corporate credit rating is negative. Mm. We based the downgrade on our view that their circumstances in Sony's mainstay electronics business make a strong recovery in earnings unlikely. We based the negative outlook on the long-term corporate credit rating on our expectation that we could lower the ratings further if we see no meaningful sign of a recovery in Sony's earnings within 6 to 12 months. We affirmed the A-2 short-term corporate credit rating on the company. The downgrade in its credit rating comes on the heels of the company's fiscal third quarter results and the news that it expected to post a fiscal full-year net loss of, holy crap, $2.89 billion.
Wow.
Ouch. Sony, what are you doing over there? All right, so the credit rating firm thinks that a quick recovery is not a possibility for the company. Standard & Poor's believes the major reason for the extended losses in Sony's strategy to aggressively expand its global market share despite strong competition, a massive erosion of prices, and its high cost structure compared with overseas competitors. Circumstances are so severe that Standard & Poor believes that it will be difficult for Sony to return its TV business to profitability even in fiscal 2013. Therefore, we see a low likelihood of a strong recovery in Sony's earnings in the next 2 years or so. S&P did add that it could lower Sony's credit rating even further if it doesn't see some signs of positive progress in the next 6 to 12 months. Oh, Sony. Oh, Sony.
Wow.
That's not good.
That is more than not good. That is...
$2.89 billion loss. Man, I bet y'all are really regretting firing those techs right about now, aren't you?
Oh, yeah, the ones they fired over the whole debacle.
Yeah. What was it, like 2 days before? Think it happened. You know, this is what happens. You let your business run into the ground, you're nosedived. How's that feel?
I feel bad for them. I feel really bad for them. Not really. Okay, so moving along.
You know, I had a little bit of a plane crash role play earlier, or yesterday. This kind of, yeah.
What this plane crash role play. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Captain was doing her nails.
You know what? I'm going to ask you about that later. I got a bunch of reviews to write today. I've been promising you guys reviews, and I got like three to write today, so they'll come. They're coming out of my head at all costs. Yay. Got to do Dead Block because I had to stop playing it long enough to write. It really is an excellent game. I'm going to tell you guys that. Excellent. If you haven't played it yet, yes. All right, so as promised, we're going to tell you about Activision and them admitting that they bungled the Call of Duty Elite launch. Yes, Activision says they admitted that the launch of Call of Duty Elite was bungled, and despite the
really
and despite the high uptake amongst players, the company isn't yet celebrating the success of their 7 million strong network. They spoke at the DICE conference last week in Las Vegas. CEO Eric Hirschberg said even before the service was announced, internally there were doubts at Activision about how to launch such a technically ambitious service. He said, "I hesitate to talk about Elite because even though we've had some early success with numbers, it's far from time for us to be doing any victory laps on Elite."
I know, because, you know, it might have been cheaper just to find an app, you know, hook it to Facebook, because that's pretty much what that is.
Pretty much. He says, "When Elite launched last year, it struggled to cope with demand, with users experiencing lag and even being unable to log in. Activision's communication at the time was poor, only keeping players up to date with minimal community interaction." He says, "We had some technological stumbles at launch, and that frustrated some of our fans. We're still making that right. But if we only talk about the things that go as planned, then we miss some of the most valuable dialogue that can come out of this," he added. He said the thinking behind the service was simple. There's this massive community of people, all passionate about the same thing, with remarkably few ways to communicate and interact with one another. Overlay that with social network and connecting over digital spaces with things we're passionate about is the Zeitgeist trend in our culture. We wanted to create a way of unlocking Call of Duty's community as a real network. The biggest problem Elite faced, according to GI.biz, was convincing the community that it would be a service worth paying for, when Call of Duty players had already been playing the series online for free for so long. He said there was only one problem. We wanted to do a beta. None of the features were going to be demonstrable in the beta because they were all tied to the code of Modern Warfare 3, and the beta was going to be Black Ops multiplayer. With the launching of Elite, we had a marketing Sophie's Choice. Not a good person. Do we do the beta, which is the right thing to do from a development standpoint, or do we do the best possible first impression, which was probably the right thing to do from the marketing standpoint? We chose to tell people right out of the gate that while the vast majority of features would be free, there would be a premium membership. A lot of people thought we should have waited and show people what they get for the premium membership before talking about it.
I agree.
But we know this question about whether it would be free, would immediately be asked. We'd be put on the spot. We chose to be transparent and tell people our intentions from the beginning. The words Call of Duty plus the word subscription equals unleash blogger hell, he recalled. Backlash was strong and inevitable, and for Hirschberg, that was the most painful summer of Google alerts I've ever lived through.
And never, ever tick off the internet.
Anyway, the rest of the story, if you want to go check it out, is over at our pupils at GI.biz. You guys are there. I happen to agree. I wasn't I think I played, was it Call of Duty that I played with multiplayer with GQ? Whatever the case may be, it's excellent for multiplayer. I was not a fan if that was, in fact, what I was playing. Might have been Modern Warfare. I kind of lump all of them together except for Vegas.
COD, Modern Warfare?
Yeah, I don't know. Modern Warfare and Battlefield, I kind of lumped those two games together, whereas Rainbow Six Vegas and Ghost Recon were two games that I always played, so I see them as separate. But I was pleased with the multiplayer, but I didn't want to play the single player. Whereas with Vegas, I'll play a single player. Ghost Recon, I'll play a single player. Don't ask me why, and probably visually there's really not much difference between all four of them. Honest to goodness, there's not. I don't know why people get all up in arms about them. I prefer the Rainbow Six because that's just what I play. But there's no visual difference. Yeah, one may have a couple of better graphics than the other, but they're all the same. You run around shooting people and hide behind exploding buildings. Really, there's nothing different. So, I do agree they should at least have given people maybe a month-long trial. That's usually how it's done. We're going to let you play this premium thing for a month, and this is how much it costs if you want to continue after this. It's kind of like drugs, dude. You have to get the people hooked first. You can't just throw it at them. You're going to pay for this, and they don't know what they're paying for. And it can't be a week long. It has to be a month because that's how you get them. Sorry.
Yeah, got a point. All right, this new one. Some of you are going to get upset, and I'm going to slap you in the forehead when you do. Sociotown first teen MMO to allow same-sex romance. This is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Go, go, go.
All right, so the social massive online game Sociotown has just launched a new romance relationship system. Players can now form romantic relationships with others of the opposite or same gender. Over the past couple of years, a handful of MMORPGs have slowly begun to allow game-sanctioned same-sex unions. However, those games have been primarily aimed at adults. Sociotown, which is an MMO aimed squarely at teens, is the first teen-oriented MMO or virtual world to allow same-sex romance. In a statement released, Chris Evans, the lead developer of Sociotown, explained the reason behind the feature. He says, social relationships are very important in our game, so we didn't want to restrict the types of friendships or bonds among our players, whether it's with someone of the same or opposite gender. However, we are looking to provide a safe and comfortable environment for everyone, not simply recreate the same tense situation some have faced in high school due to their orientation. So we will be actively monitoring the game to quickly clamp down on any bullying or harassment that might take place. This is new, unexplored territory for a teen social MMO, so we are curious and excited to see how it turns out. We are hoping our players will be leading for topics in the virtual space, which they can also carry offline to their real lives. I like this. I think this is kind of awesome.
That is an excellent choice, you guys, over there.
All right, so the game is called Sociotown. It is still currently in open beta. It's a 3D browser-based virtual game. It's free to play. It's aimed at teens and young adults. And you can check it out over at, there's a link, but you know what? GameNatrix.com. Gotta go get it.
Okay, I've been trying to open some charts for you guys before I can tell you the charts, but it's going to have to wait till it's done opening. I love when these people send the charts over, and it's all zipped up so tight. I got like 5 different files to go through to get them open. If they would just send them normal. Wait a minute, I might be able to talk long enough to get them open. How about that?
Ooh, that could be fun.
It could
and
be.
We like listening to you talk.
Of course you do. It's me.
Yeah.
Wait a minute.
I got
it. Ginger sneezing, and I think I got the charts open. I think I got it. Yay! I did.
Yay,
okay,
you got it.
All right. So, top 10 this weekend. Those of you who were at home, I was not. I was out staring and drooling at the lovely Dwayne Johnson, a.k.a. The Rock, in Return to Mysterious Island. I did fall asleep during the movie, but I woke up just in time to see him do the peck pop. Anyway. It was a nice way to wake up. Every woman should wake up to that. Okay. Is he still married?
I don't know.
And does he live nearby? Okay. Number 10 on the list, Mario and Sonic London 2012 Olympic Games. 9, Elder Scrolls Skyrim. Yes, still in the top 10. Number 8, Assassin's Creed Revelations. 7, Call of Duty Modern Warfare. 6, Battlefield 3. Darn it, Modern Warfare. Battlefield 3 is beating you this week. Number 5, FIFA 12. Wait a minute, never scroll. Ginger, that's our rule, isn't it? And I scrolled.
Yeah, never scroll. Never, ever scroll.
Oh, I lost my place. Number four, Metal Gear Solid HD Collection. Number three, The Darkness 2. Number two, Final Fantasy 85, is it? No. And number one, Kingdoms of Amalur: Reckoning. I have been talking with somebody on Facebook, and I'm sorry, I can't remember your name, and they actually run another site like ours, about how Kingdoms is getting absolutely the most minimal amount of press you can get. If it manages to do well with this minimal amount of press, that makes it amazing. But who is doing their PR? And they're an EA company. I'm wondering why EA didn't push them a whole lot harder. I really virtually know nothing about the game, and I had actually contacted them last week. If you were listening to the show, I said I was, to tell them to add us directly to their press list, and they were all excited because they're not getting any – I mean, they're getting love from the bigger sites, but as you all know, smaller people are the ones who, you know, who put up the charts.
Yeah,
so,
we are.
And EA has not grasped that yet. EA is still living in the last decade, y'all.
No, they wouldn't still be living in
They still live in the last decade as far as their marketing goes on some occasions, unless it's Bethesda, which Bethesda kind of takes things into their own hands. EA publishes, but Bethesda, you know, does what they need to do. So I'm wondering, anybody out there that's played Kingdoms? I've seen the trailers. I read a little bit about it. It looks like it's kick-ass, but I can't really tell. So they're getting no love at all. Somebody say something, EA. Can you talk about your game?
Something, yeah. Somebody tell us.
I haven't even seen any commercials for it. I think I saw one or two, but it's not enough to really tell you what it's about. Or, you know, it wasn't one of those commercials where I go, ooh, I got to pick that up. Like when I saw the Darkness commercial, I don't know what the Darkness is about, but the commercial was wonderful. I was like, I must play that. I don't know what's going on, but I got to play that.
See, and a lot of these companies, because I'm from newer generation. I'm from the third generation. There we go.
The no TV generation.
Generation, and I don't listen to broadcast radio either. I listen to what I find on the internet. I watch what I find on the internet. So you are missing out on a whole group of people because we're not seeing this, because we're not watching TV, because that's just a waste, and I'm not paying $200 for cable for 400 channels that I'm going to watch like five. Sorry, not half.
It's true. We're still waiting for our a la carte.
Exactly.
And most people listen to Gamma Girls Radio anyway, so if you would have just come over here.
Exactly. All right, so y'all are missing out on a whole group of people of advertising. We're not getting any of it. We're not even hearing about your games unless they're coming across, you know.
Oh, wait. I got a story I must share.
Uh-oh, yeah.
I must share this because this is just.
What you got?
This is horrible. Sony, this is why.
Are we going to have to let SmackDown?
I was actually going to save this little bit of news to the end of the podcast because I was trying to stay upbeat, but I'm going to throw this in here because this is horrible. As you all know, we lost Whitney Houston over the weekend.
We did?
Yes. Whitney Houston left the building, and our condolences go out to her family. I'm a child of a mother who was a substance abuser. It's difficult to go through at best. It is like watching them slowly kill themselves, and there's nothing you can do, and even when they go, it's even worse. So our condolences to Bobby Christina. Hang in there, girl. It gets better. But Sony, this is why your stock is dropping. You people are just, you know, you may take the place in my head of the devil as far as EA. I may have to push EA down a little bit down the list. Mm-hmm. 30 minutes after it was announced that Whitney Houston was dead, Sony raised the prices on her music.
Are you kidding? Mm. 30 minutes?
30.
You price gouging sons of not my name.
Instead, and this is VentureBeat is reporting that instead of reverence in the wake of her passing, Sony chose to raise the price of one of her most popular hits collections, which is the Ultimate Collection album in the UK, jumped by price more than 60% from $4.99 to $7.99 within 30 minutes of her death. This is also according to Digital Spy. The album price fell back down to $4.99 sometime during the weekend, but it's unclear exactly when that happened. Fans originally blame Apple for the price hike on iTunes, but The Guardian is reporting that Apple automatically raised the prices after Sony Music lifted the wholesale price of the album. If you're not familiar with the Ultimate Collection, it was originally released in 2007 and is the second top-selling album on iTunes, come this morning in the UK, according to The Guardian. In the U.S., Houston's 2000 Greatest Hits collection is currently sitting at number two slot on iTunes album charts, while Houston's I Will Always Love You, her most popular song ever, is currently sitting at the number one position for individual songs. Houston's catalog is is expected to dominate the music charts during the week, of course. But Sony and Apple have not responded to queries about the price hike. You guys have a special spot in the circle of hell, really. Have some type of reverence. You could have at least waited. They did the same thing with Amy Winehouse, remember? We were saying, this is horrible that you guys do this. The person is dead. I understand you're like, oh, we can make money off of this. Can you just not be so obvious? Can you at least wait a month, 2 months, or, you know, something? Oh, disgusting.
Yes. Yes, this is totally disgusting. Ugh.
Ugh. Anyway.
Somebody should be slapped. All right. So what we got? I have got more GamePolitics.com. Lucas Licensing extends a licensing deal with LEGO by 10 years. Awesome. So we're going to get more LEGO fun. Lucas Licensing, the licensing arm of Lucasfilms, has renewed its lucrative Star Wars deal with the LEGO Group. The deal extends LEGO's popular toy line for another 10 years. LEGO secured the original deal way back in 1999. The deal helped LEGO create the first product based on a third-party license. Since that time, LEGO has created toys based on such popular franchises as Harry Potter, Indiana Jones, and Batman. This renewal allows LEGO to create toys and video games based on Lucas's universe. It is currently working on toys based on EA's new MMO Star Wars The Old Republic. All right, so Jill Wilfert, Vice President of Licensing and Entertainment for the LEGO Group, says, "It is very rare to find an evergreen property that delivers growth year on year in toys. Even in years without events driving box office buzz, yet Star Wars defies all odds, continually reinventing itself, and our LEGO business continues to grow exponentially. Star Wars is a cultural phenomenon that shares many characteristics with the LEGO brand across generational appeal, versatile story and character content, creativity and imagination, and we believe that we can continue to grow LEGO Star Wars for many years to come." This is coming from Derek Stothard, Senior Director of, for Global Toys and Hardlines at Lucas Licensing. We are delighted to have extended our long and very successful relationship with LEGO Group. Bringing together these two iconic global brands has created something special that is enjoyed by kids, families, and fans everywhere. I would hate on them. I really would. But I can't. I can't. I love me some LEGO video games.
You
oh, my
do.
God. They're so much fun. And if you can get the ones on the PC, I know you have to share a keyboard, but you get two people at an itty-bitty keyboard. Oh, it's so much fun. I laughed until I cried. I was hurting so much because I was laughing that hard. I'm not saying the Wii and Xbox and all that's not as fun. I mean, they are. But sharing a keyboard and trying to play Legos anything is epically hilarious.
I don't understand why people are so opposed to sharing keyboards. You share an iPad if you play a two-player game.
You do. You do. I mean, we're playing at the same exact time. Yeah. Like, I would have the WASD. They would have the number pad.
Yeah, one of the games we got in last week to review, the Cut the Buttons, the two-player, you have to play at the same time on the iPad.
Oh, wow.
So, I don't know why people get so upset about the keyboard business. You share the iPad and everything else. Get over it. It's fun.
So much fun. And seriously, I love shooting somebody. Man, did you just steal my such and such? Oh, no, you didn't.
Wham.
Oh, no. Lego parts everywhere.
Well, speaking of EA and their e-velocity.
Animosity.
No, not animosity. E-velocity.
Oh, e-velocity.
E-velocity.
Oh, okay.
They're planning to bring The Sims Social to China. Yeah, pause for effect. Okay, so the new offering from EA and Tencent Game is now bringing, what they're calling, fun and humor of playing with life and interacting with friends.
What are they going to have to change to meet China's
I'm not going to say anything at all. Monishi Gong combines the best of The Sims gameplay from its creators at The Sims Studio with innovative social gaming features developed by Playfish for Tencent's social game platform. Monishi Gong expands the award-winning Sims universe to China and leverages the techniques and services and resources from Tencent's open platform to localize game both in its art and game design. The Tencent open platform is capable of providing high-quality products and services to its users and has now become China's leading open platform. With Monishi Gong, Tencent Open Platform is set to provide a greater experience to users. Closed beta testing for The Sims Social is underway, and open beta is expected to begin in the coming months. Do not go and sign up if you do not speak Chinese. Most likely it will not be in English. Just stay where you are. Stop looking for it.
Are you sure?
They're saying The Sims franchise, of course, is groundbreaking, one of the most groundbreaking game series because it allows players to create and live a virtual simulated life. There is becoming a global gaming and cultural phenomenon with more than 150 million units sold across 20 languages and 60 countries. The Sims Social, which is not a part of that, that they keep trying to lump it together, is a browser-based game launched on Facebook last year in August and saw 50 million monthly active users its first month. Notice they don't say how many now. The Sims Social players can not only enjoy the fun of building a home and a life, but are also able to play with friends and play with life. Boo! Do not like the Sims Social. And other watered-down versions of it. Stop it, EA.
Yes, yes. Stop that, EA. Stop that.
Boo!
All right.
Ooh. Ginger?
Oh.
Ginger, stop oohing. What you got?
GamePolitics.com, Blizzard filed opposition to Valve's DOTA trademark attempt.
Oh, juicy. Do tell.
Uh-huh. All right, so Blizzard has challenged Valve's efforts to secure a U.S. trademark of Ancients, something it said it had no plans of doing. In 2011, Valve announced plans to create a sequel to the popular Warcraft 2 mod, Defense of the Ancients. At the time, Blizzard said that it would not oppose the company, but said that it was confused by the move. Today, we learned that Blizzard filed a complaint with the U.S. trademark in opposition of Valve's registration of the DOTA name in late 2011. In its filing, Blizzard said that the DOTA name has been used by the Warcraft 3 community for more than 7 years and is therefore associated with Blizzard. Valve Corporation has never used the mark Dota in connection with any product or service that currently is available to the public. By attempting to register the mark Dota, Valve seeks to appropriate the more than 7 years of goodwill that Blizzard has developed in the mark Dota and its Warcraft 3 computer game and take for itself a name that has come to signify the product of years of time and energy expended by Blizzard and by fans of Warcraft 3. The complaint went on to state that Valve has no right to the registration and it seeks, and if it is issued to Valve, it would damage Blizzard and its fans who worked hard for years on. That's exactly how it's written. Who wrote this? All right, so the company added that the trademark would confuse consumers and cause them to believe that Valve's product is somehow associated with Blizzard and Warcraft 3. Finally, Blizzard said in its filing that Valve has never released, distributed, or sold any products using the mark Dota, or for that matter, any of the Dota marks. The company concludes that if Valve is granted registration for the Dota mark, it would obtain a prime facie exclusive right to the use of its mark that could cause damage and injury to Blizzard. All right, yeah. All right, so both Valve and Blizzard are working on Defense of the Ancients products. League of Legends is also a Dota-style product because it is created by core members of the Dota community development team. Ow. I hit my desk, sorry.
Well.
Yeah, I was just trying to make a point, slamming my fist down on the desk.
Exactly
what that was. Yeah.
Bailiff! Oh. Speaking of bailiff, Gabe, somebody needs to remove Gabe Newell from the courtroom. Oh, my God. Gabe. G.Biz is reporting this morning that Valve co-founder and managing director Gabe Newell has confirmed that details of last November's cyber attacks on Steam's distribution service reveals that encrypted credit card information has, in fact, been compromised. Recently they learned that it is probable that the intruders obtained a copy of a backup file with information about Steam's transactions between 2004 and 2008. Now you may say no big deal, but some of you sign up for accounts and probably haven't changed your information since then. If you've not moved, or you know, your credit card was one of those you got like in 2005 and it lasts until 2014, that's big, I credit number. He said this is a backup file, contains usernames, email addresses, encrypted billing addresses, and encrypted credit card information. It did not include Steam passwords, but who needs Steam passwords when you got the credit card information? Shopping. At this time, Valve, they do not believe that any of the information has been accessed, but advises users to be vigilant. At the time of the hacking, Newell wrote to Steam users to say that to Valve's knowledge, no encrypted data had been taken. He says, we do not have evidence that encrypted credit card numbers or personally identifying information were taken by intruders or that the protection on credit card numbers or passwords was cracked. Read the original statement from him. In an unconnected incident, yesterday Steam was down for a full 80 minutes in a power outage after problems at one of the company's data centers.
They didn't feed the hamsters.
Yes. They said our data center's uninterruptible power supplies power supply. Experience the power failure. that's like saying the Titanic is unsinkable. It's going to happen. The power is back on now. We're working to get service restored as quickly as possible. We apologize for any inconvenience this may have caused. In January, Valve's latest financial statement showed that the service saw more than a 100% increase in the year-over-year unit sales for the seventh year running. And I'm willing to bet right now it's probably going to drop because people realize Yeah, so Sony's not looking so bad now because, remember, it took them a week. Everybody was mad. Oh, it took you a week to tell us. Look how long it's taken since Steam has mentioned. It's been 3 months, people.
This is true. This is true. All right.
And might I add to Blaster this morning, remember the discussion we were having about things that make Steam's great and awful at the same time, not having a physical product? This is yet another problem, not the hacking. That can happen anywhere. The fact that when it goes down, you can't play your games that you paid, whatever you paid for them. When my Xbox Live service goes down, I can still play my Skyrim. Well, wasn't this last time, but
yeah.
Now
I got how much he said he'd spent.
But a
goodly amount.
Yeah, for non-physical product, no, maybe one or two, but yeah. Not. Anyway, continue.
All right, I'm going to try to get through this one. Bear with me; it's kind of crazy. There's a See?
Mm-hmm.
2 seconds in, can't even do it. Leap Year survey reveals 42% of Irish men would say yes if their girlfriend proposed.
Oh, and girlfriends would propose. See an Irishman? Rare.
All right, so there is a competition going on right now with PopCap Games to celebrate the lunar-induced shift the lunar-induced shift in matrimonial power. PopCap Games, creator of the world's number one puzzle video game franchise. The sparking and brilliantly engaging Bejeweled are further incentivizing women to take their destiny into their own hands and pop the question with a one-of-a-kind diamond and sapphire Bejeweled-inspired ring worth £5,000 to be awarded to the most romantic woman in the UK and Ireland by the end of the month.
Aww.
Yes. All right, so how do you enter? PopCap wants to hear women's stories and how they've gone the extra mile to secure the heart of their Mr. Right. All right, PopCap, when you get the crazy stories, can you forward them to me? Ginger at GameNatrix.com. Thank you. All right, so they especially want to hear about if anyone has proposed or plans to propose on February 29th. One lucky loved-up lady will be bestowed with a one-of-a-kind sapphire and diamond ring fit for a queen or princess. The competition is, of course, unfortunately, open to the UK and Irish residents over the age of 18, so that's none of us here in the US, from today until midnight on Thursday, February 23rd, and can be entered via cosmopolitan.co.uk or handbag.com. All right, so there are links, and I've got them up on GameMatrix.com. All right, so what else do I got? The PopCaps Games commissioned survey of men and women in relationships revealed that 42% of men would say yes if their girlfriend proposed. Only 23% of women think their boyfriend would say yes unconditionally. 15% of men would say yes on the condition that nobody found out she had proposed. Really? 19% of people know a girl who has proposed to her boyfriend. 25% of people think that the man must propose tradition is outdated or sexist. Yes, thank you. 12% of people think sex is a suitable. Never mind. 29% of women would be embarrassed to tell a friend that they've been proposed to. And just under 11% of cash-strapped Irishmen say that they'd like their partner to propose, but they wouldn't have to buy her an engagement ring.
That's not right.
No, see, I think I'm pretty sure there should still be, at least in my eyes, even if she proposes, there should still be some sort of rings exchange, just because I like rings, whether or not you go in halves on them together. I mean, you're going to be married. That's exactly what's going to happen anyways.
If you're lucky.
Your debt, that's going to be your debt. Yeah. So
some things need to remain traditional. Just saying. And the guys are like, see, women. Yeah. Who run this mother? Anyway. I gotta say this because I just tweeted it. Clear! MySpace, it's alive.
No.
Yes. VentureBeat is reporting MySpace, once the king of social networking, has been bleeding users for years, and now they're reporting that they've had 1 million new users sign up since December. quarter, according to the New York Times. The big change strategically, strategic-wise, that MySpace has made is to stop competing head-to-head with Facebook. Instead, it's trying to leverage the licensing deals it already had in place with record labels and the wealth of independent music bands it had uploaded to its site. Specific Media bought MySpace from News Corp in July of 2010 for a mere $35 million, which is a fraction of the $580 million it sold for in 2005.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. MySpace rolled out a new music player in December and worked hard to integrate this with Facebook and Twitter. New chief executive Chris Vanderhook told the New York Times that it was this partnership which really drove the new growth on MySpace. Right now, MySpace has 42 million tracks. That's even more than Spotify or Rhapsody. Of course, a ton of those tracks are unbearably bad amateur recordings made by no-name artists. But stopping by the site, VentureBeat saying they found a playlist featuring Grammy winners like Adele, Houston, Taylor Swift, and Bruno Mars. Turning MySpace around is, of course, no small feat, but the site is still growing steadily in comparison to services like Spotify, which is currently adding 250,000 users a day, with which MySpace is now directly competing. What this data doesn't tell us is how many old users are still leaving the site. 1 million new users isn't so great if 1 million old users have quit visiting. The biggest positive indicator is that the site's traffic has actually grown for the first time in recent memory, climbing 4% over the last month, and there's no word yet on whether Specific Media and Justin Timberlake, who's an investor, have had any luck bringing Sexy back to the brand in the eyes of musicians and teenage fans who once flocked to MySpace.
Oh, no. You did not just use bringing Sexy back when talking about MySpace.
Well, you know, I think MySpace is on to something. I think they should make themselves into kind of what YouTube has, but it's not really that well organized yet. That, you know, everybody knows that's how what's the little boy's name? Justin Bieber, whatever his name is. I forget his name. That was not me being facetious. I really did forget his name. I'm not a fan of his music.
Yeah,
I don't
yeah.
dislike him or anything. I think he does good music. I'm just not one where I hear it and go, oh my God, that's my song, I gotta dance. So
yeah.
But that's where he was discovered, was on YouTube. But so many people are saturating YouTube, and it's not like YouTube has a special channel saying these are our amateur people. MySpace really could do this if they, you know, made it easier. Think about it. If you're a music exec and somebody says, I got this great person I want you to hear, wouldn't it be much easier for you as a music exec, say you got the flu, you can't fly out to Timbuktu to hear the latest artist, if you could just go right over to MySpace and listen to him and say, yeah, he's got talent, sign him, and I'm going back to sleep after I take my NyQuil. Just saying. Just saying.
Yeah.
You might find the next somebody. I was going to say Whitney Houston, but no, we're not going to find another one of hers, not in this generation. We got a while to wait before that happens again.
Yeah.
In any case, I think it's an excellent idea, MySpace, to reinvent yourself. Which is ready to do here. We got something big to tell y'all, but we can't tell y'all.
Yes, I know.
And I just want to spill it because some secrets I'm good at holding, but when it pertains to us, I have trouble. If you notice that, I have trouble keeping our secrets. I keep everybody else's, but I need to learn to keep my mouth shut. Okay.
I don't know. I think I broke our last secret.
I don't know. Yeah, don't repeat it again. I'll tell me later. All right.
No, we already did. It was the fashion, the fixinista.
Oh, yeah, you did. It was, that one was okay.
Yeah.
I think at the time it was... Oh, I want to tell. Okay, so it's time for us to take a break. Okay.
Yes. Break time. Dun, dun,
wait,
dun,
we might have some.
Dun, dun.
No, we better take a break. Okay, we're going to take a short break. Those of you who don't know, we do take a break every day around this time. However, we continue with an on-streaming portion. Now, if you love us and you're like, I want to hear the last 15 minutes, give us a jingle. Shoot us an email, webmaster@girlsradio.com, and let us know. We want that last 15 minutes. Of course, we may just add another 15 to cover.
I know, right?
Here we go. Know with us. But anyway, let us know if you like it. We'll go ahead and stay on live another 15 minutes if you like it. Mm-hmm. And if you don't, we just continue along this way.
So if we're on for 15 minutes longer, maybe we can take some phone calls.
It's a possibility. We've been toying with the ideas. A lot of you have been calling in and staying on the line. And like those emails I do get, I wanted to talk and you wouldn't let me talk. Well, that's because.
Yeah, I'm curious. What did they want to talk about?
Probably something good in the news we were talking about.
Oh.
But too bad. I'm trying to find a song to play that is not completely dirty, and I can't find it. So I guess I'll go with this one since we got to see pictures of her new baby this weekend.
Girls, we run this mother.
Girls, we run this mother. Girls, we run this mother. Girls, we run this mother. Girls, we run this mother. Girls, we run this mother. Girls, we run this mother. Girls, we run this mother. Girls, we run this mother. Girls, we run this mother. Girls, we run this mother. Girls, we run this mother. Girls, we run this mother. Girls, we run this mother. Girls, we run this mother. Girls, we run this mother. Girls, we run this mother. Girls, we run this mother. Girls, we run this mother. Girls, we run this mother. Girls, we run this mother. Girls, we run this mother. Girls, we run this mother. Girls, we run this mother. Girls, we run this mother. Girls, we run this mother. Girls, we run this mother. Girls, we run this mother. Girls, we run this mother. Girls, we run this mother. Girls, we run this mother. Girls, we run this mother. Girls, we run this mother. Girls, we run this mother. Girls, we run this mother. Girls, we run this mother. Girls, we run this mother. Girls, for a full hour.
Yay! Who is that from?
That's from The Dark, Mr. Joe Hill.
Yes.
Says 45 minutes isn't long enough. Oh, I like when I hear that. I've had too much. The vitamins are kicking in a little late, but they're kicking in. I may have to go outside and run up and down the street in the rain. How about that?
No rain. I'm not a fan of the rain.
I like running up and down the street in the rain. I don't know. I can't speak for Ginger.
No, not so much.
Well, then, come on back. We're getting ready to go into streaming, and GLaDOS is mad at Beyonce, so I'm going to have to stop that running in the background.
No, GLaDOS, you leave the Beyonce alone. I will stab you in the face. All right, so what do we got? We got Transformers. All right, new Transformers. Fall.
You didn't say it right. You know you didn't say that right.
I didn't.
Transformers, more than meets the eye.
Oh, wow. Wow.
Okay, I'm sorry. I had to do it. Continue.
Yes, she did, because I had totally forgotten that. All right, so new Transformers Fall of Cybertron toys announced. Today sees the launch of some exciting new Hasbro toys based on Activision's highly anticipated Transformers Fall of Cybertron video game. As part of the Transformers Generation's deluxe line launching this autumn, Hasbro will be releasing 5 new action figures in their Cybertronian form based on the characters in the video game. Yes, I know some of you are rushing to your local Toys R Us right now. Don't run over the kiddies, okay? Remember, these are toys. These include Blastoff, Vortex, Decepticon Brawl, Swindle, and Onslaught. Characters that can combine into one fearsome Decepticon, Bruticus, just as they do in the game. Each figure within the assortment has 3 modes, robot, physical, and a 3rd combiner mode, to link together and form the colossal Bruticus figure. Each will be sold separately. See, I like that. They sell them separately, so you had to buy each one to form the whole thing.
I do love me some Transformers. That's why, y'all know, my cell phone's name is Optimus Prime.
All right, well, I'm pretty sure I've got links to this up on GameNatrix.com this morning, so head over there and check it out. They've got links to the website. They tell you more about the game, all this fun stuff. So GameNatrix.com this morning, go check it out.
And if you'd like to see the website, and giving my guys some more love, of one of the creators of the 3D modeling previously from a previous Transformers game, I don't know if they did this one, go over to Indestructible Cannon, tell them that we sent you. IndestructibleCannon.com. Guys, y'all owe me. I'm telling y'all. Y'all owe me some coffee. Something. I don't want no Jamba Juice. I want some coffee.
Or some virtual clothes, just saying.
No, they tried to feed me Jamba Juice.
What? Jamba Juice?
They tried to feed me Jamba Juice. I told them I don't do the Jamba Juice, but I do some coffee.
What is Jamba?
You don't know what Jamba...
No.
Y'all, I'm going to have to get Ginger down here now. She doesn't know what Jamba Juice is.
What is Jamba Juice?
It's like a place, all they sell is all these different kinds of smoothies and juices, blends, and Yeah, you got to come on down and visit. All right. I don't know about you all, but it was a weekend of apps for me.
Yes. I was playing the Valentine's edition of Run Like Hell, so yes.
Well, I was just all over the marketplace, but I did not run across this one. I actually had something to tell you. Okay, I meant to say this while I was on the air, but you guys will hear it streaming. Edwards Theater, if you're in Houston, avoid them at all costs, so they are now on my hit list. I go and spend my $5 for some ice cream from Marble Cream Slab. You all know who those people are, whatever.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God, yes.
So I spend my $5. I very rarely eat their ice cream, but it's good. It's one of those you eat it, you're addicted kind of thing. It's really good ice cream. And I was going to go to Hank's. If you're ever here in Houston, stop by Hank's. It's better than Marble Cream, believe it or not. In any case, I get some Marble Cream. I'm going in to look at my man, do his peck pop, and they won't let me into the theater because they're not permitted to let you in with outside food.
Oh, wow.
This I accept from our AMC theaters because they're actually usually standalone theaters. It makes sense.
Yeah.
It makes sense, and it doesn't, that they don't want you inside with other food. I bring it in anyway. I take my picnic purse is what I call it, and I put the food in, and I walk in. And they can say they're going to check my bag if they want to. We're going to have a fight. But they never check my bag. But I didn't do that here because this particular theater is in a building where there's several clubs and restaurants and things. So it would stand to reason you would let people walk in with a drink or ice cream, things that you don't sell, as you don't particularly sell in your theater. I can't with other popcorn. I can see you can't come in. You have to buy your popcorn here. You can't come in with a drink. You need to buy your drink here. You don't sell ice cream. I cannot get a derivative of it. You don't even sell you don't sell any malted shake. Nothing I could say, let me go in here and I'll get – ridiculous. So I did tell them, the district manager who was there visiting, I will be talking about you and badly, and I will not be coming back here. Not only did you make me pay for parking.
They made you pay for parking?
Yes, you have to pay for parking, and then I got to pay for your tickets, and then I have to hurry up and eat my ice cream before I go, and I cannot take my creamy treat and enjoy it while I sit and watch the previews. So, no, I'm not happy with you. Edwards Theater, boo. I'll be going to pay.
That kind of blows.
At least at AMC, if I had put it in my purse, I could have carried it in.
Ice cream in the purse.
Hey, I've done it before. You have a top on it. Anybody, you come to Houston, you want to go to the movie theater, and you don't want to eat the movie theater food, you let me know. I'll get it in for you. We come in with a whole gang of stuff. Well, you keep in mind that the movie theater food is not all that healthy, and for the most part, I try to stay on the healthy side. I'm not always good at it, but when I'm trying to, I like to take things to the movie theater that I want to eat to stay healthy, which is I like crunchy stuff, but I don't need the popcorn. I take my almonds or something like that, and I put all that stuff in my purse. So I think during the summer, I had all the little girls. I don't know what I took them to see, but I had a purse full. And when I say it's my picnic purse, it looks like a picnic basket. It's very cute. It looks like a picnic purse. It's round, and I put fruit. I had bags. I had it all separated and organized. I was handing out oranges, and who wants grapes, and who needs almonds, and who needs this? And I was just pulling stuff out, and this lady next to me was like, "What did you fit all that in there?" I said, "'Cause, hey, it's me. This is my picnic purse. That's what it's for." So, yeah, if they would start to sell healthy stuff at the theater, if I could get an apple or orange, I would gladly pay the extra money to be able to eat something healthy while I sit and watch. But since they don't want to do that, they would kill me, they want to serve me curly fries and stuff that I don't need to be eating, then I'm going to do what I got to do.
I don't know. The older I get, the more fries just make my tummy turn. It's like, ugh.
Yeah.
They're all greasy and nasty.
Especially at the movie theater because they give you a giant cup of them. It's not like a small...
Yeah.
That's the other thing. Y'all wonder why Americans are so fat. Why can't you give me the portion I'm supposed to have? Not a portion for six people.
True story.
I
don't see it this way.
I ate the fries, and that was my whole caloric count for the day. I can't eat anything else. This is 1,200 calories right here. And it's,
wow.
It's ridiculous. Anyway, we're not talking about food. I was actually going to tell you about this new app. I got all off the topic. AppMobi.com is their name, and they announced today they have a beta available for PlayMobi, which is a cross-platform HTML5-based game development, deploy, and monetization SDK. Try saying that five times fast. HTML5 game developers an elegant JavaScript API solution to the many issues they face, including their authentication, in-game payments, social player engagement, scoring, and leaderboard management. Now, the core technology of PlayMobi is based on TapJS, I think it's, I don't know how to say it, TapJs, maybe, which pioneered the social network category for HTML5 games and was acquired by AppMobi just last year. Developers can apply to join the PlayMobi beta program at appmobi.com/PlayMobi. They're saying with a single JavaScript API, PlayMobi gives HTML5 game developers all the tools they need to create interesting and socially engaging games that run on iOS, Android, and Facebook platforms as well. PlayMobi includes slick in-app purchasing capabilities based on AppMobi's patent-pending one-touch technology, making the experience very simple and highly secure. PlayMobi leverages the rapidly expanding HTML5 platform, offering game developers unique ability right on, and deploy the same code to iOS, Android, Facebook, and the open web, fully compliant with each platform's terms of service, and these people are about to be rich just for that one thing, if it actually works.
Yes.
You can read more about this on our website. GameAndTricks.com. Just look in the Lunch with Ginger and Corey section. It'll be there. I promise you.
Are you sure it's going to be there?
Well, I'm hoping it's going to be there. You know, our website's crazy. It'll be like, yeah, it's there somewhere. Search for it.
This is so horribly true some days.
It'll be like, maybe. It might be over there. And then you click on it and be like, I'm sorry, you're not allowed to read this.
All right. What have I got? What have I got?
Oh, I got fishing. I see that you. Ooh.
Corey and I love us some fishing. Virtual fishing, because real life fishing, man, there's like blood and there's guts and there's bugs and there's stinky stuff and it's ugh.
Flopping around.
All right. Go Games announced the release of the iPad version of a popular Facebook game, Go Fishing. Go Fishing lets you escape from work routine and city hassle into the peaceful wilderness of the best fishing spots around the world. You can choose your tackle among hundreds of available options, pick your bait, and reel in hundreds of fish species. Take part in online tournaments and complete various quests.
I like fish easies.
Yeah.
Sorry, it was funny.
All right, so what have we got? That's just reviews. Features, realistic locations recreated from the best fishing spots around the world, multi-level quests for fishing legends and stories, hundreds of realistic tackle and bait options, realistic graphics, animations, sounds, real fishing ambience, real-time multiplayer tournaments, extensive fishing experience, Facebook integration for you achievement people.
That's not what you were going to say.
Yeah. All right, so it is compatible with the iPad. It requires iOS 3.2 or later. And Go Fishing 1.0 is free and available worldwide through the App Store in the games category. All right, I've got links and a YouTube video even up on GameNatrix.com this morning. Head over there and check that out.
Okay, well, apparently there's a new tasty ice cream sandwich on the Samsung. Oh, I used to do not like ice cream sandwich, but I got to tell you, I'm loving them now, especially when they're on a tablet. Yes, Samsung. Samsung has unveiled a successor to its first 7-inch Android tablet. This is good on all accounts. But this time the device will run the latest feature-rich version of Android Ice Cream Sandwich, as we're calling it. The Galaxy Tab 7.0 will be one of the first tablets available with Ice Cream Sandwich, which has a haltingly beautiful design and tons of new features like facial recognition unlocking that make using Android elegant and fun. The Galaxy Tab 2 will join Samsung's diversely rich family of tablets like the Tab 8.9 and 10.1, which compete the best they can with Apple's iPad, the most popular tablet in the world at present. 2 years ago, the Samsung Galaxy Tab began to offer its customers more possibilities on the go, said J.K. Shin, who's the president of IT and mobile communications Samsung. In a statement, he said, since then, Samsung has actively enhanced our tablet lineup with several tablets in different sizes, which is very, very nice. I think the iPad is really too big for reading. It's hard to hold with my little hands. Gets kind of tiresome after a while. On the spec side, the Galaxy Tab 2 7.0 has a 7-inch screen with a 1024 by 600 resolution, and I'm about to get geeky, hands above the desk, 1 gigahertz dual-core processor, 1 gigabyte of RAM, a 3-megapixel camera on the rear, and a front-facing VGA camera for via bat. There are both Wi-Fi and 3G models available. For 3G connectivity, the device will support HSPA Plus downloads up to 21 megabytes per second, if you can ever find a network that can deliver that, that is. GI.biz is also reporting that the 7-inch Galaxy Tab 2 will launch first in the UK in March, and then will spill out over the rest of the world. While the U.S. is not mentioned, the device will almost certainly arrive stateside like its other tablets, we hope. Just dripping with ice cream.
Ice cream. Nom, 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 nom. All right, we've got us a PS Vita title. Yay! All right, Player 3 announces its first PS Vita title, Chronovolt. Player 3 is today very excited to finally announce the PS Vita title they have been working on for quite some time, Chronovolt. Chronovolt is a 3D platformer marble game in which the player has to guide his chronosphere through the twists, turns, and traps and hazards of Escher-like arenas. You must perfect your control of speed and dexterity to guide the chronosphere to exit on each of the 30 levels. Chronovolts scattered around the level give the user the power to control time in various fashions, stopping it for selected objects, rewinding it, and creating time warps. The time controls increase the complexity of the puzzles and the fun. Time is controlled through the front and back touch panels, while the chronosphere can be controlled either with tilting or with the more classic stick controls. All right, so what have we got? Overarching time-traveling storyline over 30 levels, front and rear touch screens used for time control powers, ranking and leaderboards, and a synchronous multiplayer. All right, so I've got this up on GameNatrix.com this morning. Head over there and check it out. Nom, nom, nom.
Oh, I'm muted stuff. Yeah, it would help if I wasn't muted.
Yeah.
It would really help. All right. Well, those of you in the UK are probably wondering, where am I going to buy my games if High Street closes? Well, let us tell you. While the future of UK specialist retailer game is currently uncertain, many in the retail community across Europe are beginning to ask, where will we buy our games? If not from High Street, don't panic. We can tell you. Data from analyst firm, NPD, suggests that while many might expect that the average game consumer is more likely to shop online than anywhere else, with Amazon singled out as one of the most popular retailers for regular game customers, Nita Fraser, who's an analyst at NPD, says, we were in Europe talking to folks, and given some of the publicity that has been out about the struggles of game the retailer, we were asked, if game goes away, what do we think? Where do we think consumers will go? Because we looked at game consumers and ask, what else do they buy? Where else do they buy software? And in fact, the game consumer was very much more likely to shop at .com websites than other consumers of other retailers. Game consumers also shop at HMV, another retailer with highly publicized difficulties, and GameStation as well is part of the game group, which only leaves supermarket ASDA as the other retailer favored by game customers, according to NPD. Game is in talks to sell its overseas business as it survives hand-to-mouth, having difficulties with its leading syndicate in expectations of 18 million euros lost for the full year. Wow. The major publishers are concerned about the group, with Electronic Arts highlighting the poor financial condition of the company and possible bad debt and lost sales should it continue to struggle. The UK and France are the biggest markets for the secondhand games, and without games presence on the High Street, those consumers who buy these games are likely to pre-spending on eBay, where the other variety is wider than at HMV or limited ASDA stores. Stop it, Ginger. Cut them later. Our data shows that in the UK. Fraser is saying that the data shows that in the UK and France, there's a higher incidence of used games acquisition, and they saw evidence in the space that was devoted to retail as well. Looking at wider buying habits of game consumers, they are much more heavily engaged with digital full game downloads and downloadable market compared to the overall UK consumers. Those game consumers are also more likely to buy paid-for apps in the mobile space, just as likely to engage in free apps and social networking games as the average UK game consumer. All data supplied, of course, by the NPD Group and GI.biz. I'm having some issues this morning. The vitamins are taking me too fast, and we're got to go anyway. So
we do. I ran out of time for this one. All right, never mind this.
You could do it. It's not like we don't have time. You want to do it before we go?
Sure, because I want people to know, because this is a fun game. APB Reloaded is out now in the UK.
Oh, yay!
Yay! All right, today video game publisher Iceberg Interactive announced the MMO action game APB Reloaded for PC is now available in retail stores in the United Kingdom and Ireland. The retail version of the game was released in the Benelux last week and will be available in Germany, Switzerland, Austria, and Scandinavia on February 17th. APB Reloaded is a free-to-play, massively multiplayer online third-person shooter game taking place in the modern-day fictional city of San Paro. Yes, we played this off and on. It's a lot of fun. So much fun. So much fun. So get it and play it.
Nothing like mowing down strangers in the street. Nothing
yes,
like.
And I'm going to have links to this up in just a couple of minutes. By the time you actually hear this, so GamingNatrix.com. Head over there and check it out.
Woo, woo. Okay, it is time for us to go. We will see you guys bright and early tomorrow. I need to be on Valentine's Day. Who wants to be it?
I'm going to.